Right, y'all. I just want to take a quick second to talk about our sponsor, Sunbasket. I don't know if you know this about me, but I am not a big fan of grocery shopping or meal planning or anything that goes along with any of that. But I do very much care about eating healthy. But when you don't like to grocery shop or plan meals, it is really hard to cook healthy dinners for your family. And that's where Sunbasket comes in. They're a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your door. Each week, you can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy meal kit recipes with a wide variety of dietary options, plus dozens of snacks, salads, breakfast items, and more. And you can pick and choose from recipe options like vegetarian, Mediterranean, carb conscious, the list goes on. We just had orzo bowls with broccoli, sun-dried tomatoes, and pea stew, and it was delicious. My kids even liked them. I can't speak to Sunbasket more. I love them. Thanks to Sunbasket's commitments to clean ingredients and organic fresh produce, there's no easier way to eat your very, very best. You just have to go to sunbasket.com/queerfam today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/queerfam to save $120, y'all, across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Go do that. Get some healthy food. There you go. This episode is sponsored by Feather Snack. Okay, hold on, y'all. I have to tell you about something that my wife got us into and that my whole family is loving now. Brace yourselves. It's the Feather Snap Scout Smart Bird Feeder. Yes, I said bird feeder. This thing is so cool, and it offers a brand new way to connect with nature and learn about the birds right in your own backyard. Or, if you're like us, living in New York City, it's in your friend's backyard in the country, and you get to use the app connected to it to learn all the stuff. It's got this high-resolution camera that connects to an app, so you can check out a live stream from your feeder. You can take photos and videos of the birds that visit. You can ID the species using expert-trained AI, and you can earn badges along the way. You can even, y'all, learn fun facts about hundreds of species. For example, did you know that American crows can recognize and remember people's faces? And they can even teach their young who's a friend and who's a foe? I know that now. Did you? Seriously, the Feather Snap Feeder is entertaining, it's educational, and it's just a whole bunch of fun for the whole family. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com.
This episode is brought to you by Generate Life Sciences, Modern Fertility, and Trust in Will. We are so excited to have them on board making our show a possibility.
Welcome to If These Ovaries Could Talk. I'm Jamie.
I'm Robin.
And we're your hosts.
Let me show you.
I am a lesbian.
So gay.
We need to tell our story.
It's not your nuclear family anymore. It's not just your mom and dad thing.
We're not ruining these little humans.
Not for the gay reason. Just because we stay. Hi, everyone. Before we turned the microphone on, we were talking about how dry my face is because I'm in radiator heat apartment. I don't go anywhere. And it's just drying the crap out of my face.
It's the worst. Radiator heat is really bad.
It is.
Did you go outside yesterday?
Yesterday. Did I go outside? Yes, I did. See, I saw your wife. I went outside, right. Yes.
Yeah, you did a drive-by by our house.
And I'm going on a walk after this record, even though it's 12 degrees.
Also, you gave me the... For everybody at home, don't buy that game, Mousetrap. She gave me Mousetrap, the game.
We accidentally got it shipped to us. And so I was like, Jamie, you want this game? We were doing a little drive to drop some things off. So I dropped it off to Jamie. What was bad about it?
That contraption has, first of all, you know how much I hate messes and clutter. Mm-hmm. That contraption that is like 2 feet tall has been sitting on my living room floor. We have lost the marble
already.
You have to use for it at least 5 times and have to find the marble. Where's the marble? Mama, I can't find the marble. Where's the marble? Mama, the marble. Help, help. Like, I hate this game, and we don't even know how to play the game. I won't even read the directions. We put it together, and I'm not reading the directions, and it's sitting on my floor, and the child, the three-year-old, just keeps putting the marble in the contraption and letting it fall, and then we lose the Robin.
Jamie, you're welcome.
I felt like when I was putting this thing together, I was like, Robin was trying to do something to me today.
My daughter had my phone, and she got the text from you with the picture of the game, and she said, ooh, Jamie's not happy about that game. And I was like, Mom, what happened? I'll do the nice thing.
It is very nice that you thought of us and you brought it. But
you're welcome, Jamie.
I'm just looking for the right opportunity to box it up and get rid of it.
I'm going to just start calling your kids and be like, how much do you love Mousetrap? You guys want to play again? Should we play Mousetrap?
We don't know how to play.
Listen, give the game to Helen. Maybe it's something she could do when she's supposed to be working.
It was Helen, right? Helen told you to give it to me. Jesus.
I mean, I didn't want to say it, but yeah, Helen, it was Helen.
Listen, we got to get Helen outside. She has not left the house in at least two weeks.
Helen didn't go outside before COVID, so why would she go out now? Like, she just sits in the window and smokes.
It's just a lot, Helen. It's really a lot. We need you to get out. We need you to get out, Helen.
All right. You know what we need Helen to do? We need Helen to join our Patreon community to help us make the show.
Yes.
Because she could get, if she joined our Patreon community, she could get bonus content and she would get videos of most of the interviews that are dropped a day early and they're unedited and there's no ads in them. So, I mean, if Helen wanted to support us, she could go to patreon.com/ovariestalk, right?
If Helen ever listened to anything we say or watched any of our stuff.
Helen doesn't even listen to the podcast. All right, let's introduce our guests, Jamie.
Let's do.
I'm so excited about this one.
You guys, Griffin Matthews and Matt Gould, you guys. They're huge. I mean,
we're going to give a shout out to listener and friend Ellen Carl, who was the one who was like, you got to get these two guys on the podcast. Because I knew Griffin from his acting, but I didn't know that he was a gay dad.
No, I didn't either. And, you know, musical theater world, singers, you know me, I love all that. But I think we should have Ellen replace Helen. What do you think?
Ellen pitched herself to replace Helen at one point. Ellen's like got her crap buttoned up, man. She'd be a great helper.
Well, maybe we can't afford Ellen.
We can't afford
Ellen. We probably can't afford Ellen at all.
Anyway, you might know Griffin from The Flight Attendant, which is an amazing show, Dear White People, and basically a bajillion other TV shows.
I mean, he's all over.
Yeah.
And also, Matt is also ridiculously talented. He's a writer of the musicals Witness Uganda, Invisible Thread, and Lempicka.
I have to tell you, so I watched the YouTube video of the two of them singing the song Invisible Thread. And oh my God, I cried like a baby. But then yesterday when Maxine and I were driving around dropping off Mousetrap to you and other various things, I played the song for her. And she was just like, she goes, I'm going to need to add this to my Spotify playlist. She's like, can we just put it on repeat? We listened to that song. And I was still sobbing in the car.
Oh my God.
And she was like, she started crying. She was like, I don't know why I'm crying. She's like, I don't even know the context, but the song is so beautiful.
Oh, it was so amazing. Good. I want to sing with them. How do we make that happen?
Their voices are beautiful. And Maxine was like, she said, their voices just go together like they were meant to be together. And I was like, right. Aww. And that's how I feel like their family story is. Should we listen to their family story?
You need to listen to the story. They're so wonderful, wonderful, wonderful people. And their story is just going to inspire you or something.
Or something. Okay. Helen, bring them in.
I'll bring Helen. Helen, wake up.
Roll the tape. Hi, Griffin. Hi, Matt.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
How are you guys today?
We're sleepy. Will we ever sleep again?
No,
we're tired. We had a 2-year-old in our bed last night, just kicking around. It was tough. Mm-hmm. And then we have a baby next to us. There's a baby next to us.
There's literally a baby cooing.
You're going to hear him. He's going to make sure you know.
That adjustment from one kid to two kid is really, really hard. And nobody, even though people tell you, you don't really understand until you have that second kid.
You do not.
I had a moment when I first brought my son home. His sister is 4 years older. So I brought him home from the hospital. I'm sitting on the couch with the newborn and my 4-year-old running around and my wife and my mother was and we lived in the tiniest apartment. I had this moment where I just had this really dark realization that, oh my God, life is too small right now. Like everything is too small. There's no space for anything. This is the future. Yes. That's where you get to.
My phrase is,
yes.
My phrase is, can I ever have anything nice?
No. I just want nice things between
my husband and the two kids. No. Will I ever have anything nice? No. You know?
Well, let's get to the elevator pitch of your family. We're going to give you 30 seconds. You're going to tell us who you two are and to each other, your family, and all of that jazz in any way you want to. Okay. On your mark.
Are you going or am I going?
Get set.
It's a together thing.
Go.
Go.
We're an interracial
gay, black, Jewish, Christian, Armenian,
Cambodian,
unknown,
married, but married for the minority of our relationship so far.
12, 13 years together?
13 years together, 4 years married.
Oh God, it feels like forever.
Couple.
Jesus
of
Christ, help us.
Young, but aging.
Really hot, really good looking. We have 3 seconds. Really good looking, really, really great skin.
Four boys and a mutt named Mommy.
I thought we should say something that's not true.
Yeah.
Lying
I like,
there.
I was like, I wonder if they're going to say it. Anything about having kids.
We have, that's the Armenian, the Cambodian.
That's the Armenian, the
Cambodian.
Oh,
okay.
That's what I figured it was.
All of us have been the victims of genocide at some point in our history. We are the
UN at this house.
Yeah.
Oh, we didn't say the chickens. Why didn't we say the chickens?
We have a lot of chickens.
You have chickens?
Oh, you have chickens?
So many.
Oh my God.
We have pandemic chickens.
You just decided it's a pandemic. Okay. We're getting chickens?
That's right. What if we can't eat? We were like, we got to eat something. We planted a garden and got some chickens.
Do they lay eggs? You eat the
eggs?
They
do.
Okay.
They lay eggs and eat them every morning. So look behind me. See? Eggs.
Those are the eggs right there.
Eggs. There's lots of eggs. Do you hand? You must hand eggs out. I want eggs.
We hoard eggs. No one's getting any eggs. We're hoarders.
That's because you needed eggs to make your babies. I get it.
That's right.
All right. Let's get off the chickens and let's talk about you two getting together and wanting to have kids.
Long time together.
Yeah.
It's so long.
We didn't both want to have kids at the beginning.
So long.
Oh, no?
No.
Well, I'm curious who didn't want the kids.
Well, it took me a long time to get to the point of marriage and kids. I was very happy.
He didn't want the marriage. He didn't want the kids. I had to threaten him. I had to threaten him. You know. And I'm not kidding.
You're all, do you see this face? You better marry me and you better have my babies.
And I literally said, if you don't marry me, someone else will. And that was what it did it. I said, hit me with a diamond or this is over. Really.
Matt, what was your hesitation?
You know, I mean, I would say it like this. I think for a long time, gay men lived this fierce, fabulous kind of life where we didn't have to do what straight people did. And, you know, I feel like Griffin and I are part of a generation that are just like sort of right on the cusp of sort of being that, like, we're just different and fierce and fabulous and gay. And that, and now, and then the generation of we're getting married and having babies and having kids. And I think like it was a little bit of a transition to figure out how to get from fierce and fabulous to
we're in our pajamas. We have dad bods.
To becoming lesbians. Taking,
yeah.
It's
a little bit.
And it's a beautiful thing, and I love this thing, but it took me a minute to get here, for sure.
Well, we went to a seminar here in LA, and Alec Mappa was running it, he and his husband, about foster program. And he said, he was joking, he's so funny, but he was like, just think about it. Even when gays have no money, our lives are so much better than all the straight people. And we literally looked at each other, and we were like, that's true. So we're going to have no money. We're going to have children and have no money. And they're still going to have a better life than most of the straights out there.
That's an aha moment. Well, we talk about this all the time on the podcast. A lot of the reasons why us gays, our children are so have such great lives is because our families are so intentional because we can't do it accidentally. It doesn't happen on accident for us. So much intention goes into it. And so these our children just have fabulous lives.
It's actually very true.
I don't know. Ask our kids.
I was like, do
that's
they?
That's what I say. Robin.
Yes.
What if I told you you could get important fertility insight without going to the doctor or even leaving home? Modern fertility makes that possible with easy at-home fertility hormone testing. Boom.
You know what I would say? I would say, tell me more, Jamie.
Yeah, you would. Because modern fertility was created to make testing your fertility hormones super easy. You give yourself a simple finger prick at home. You mail it in with a prepaid label and you'll get your personalized results within 10 days.
Well, listen, we talk regularly about how expensive our paths to parenthood are. And traditional testing from your doctor, it can cost over $1,000. But modern fertility costs only $159 to get the same information. Oh, and if you go to modernfertility.com/OCT, you can get $20 off the test. Save that money on this journey, Jamie.
Good point. And also, if you have an HSA or FSA, you can use those dollars on Modern Fertility.
Oh, I love that. Great. And you're going to get insights into how many eggs you have.
You're going to get your hormone levels and other important fertility factors.
And the results go deep into what every hormone means. And you can also talk one-on-one with a fertility nurse to review your results and options for next steps, because who knows what that means on your own.
Right. Truly.
I do not.
Yeah. So if you're ready to start this baby-making journey,
This might be the right place for you to start.
Right now, Modern Fertility is offering our listeners $20 off the test when you go to modernfertility.com/OCT.
That means your test is going to cost $139 instead of the hundreds or thousands it could cost at a doctor's office. Save that money.
I mean, come on. That's amazing. Get $20 off your fertility test when you go to modernfertility.com/OCT.
I'm going to say it one more time. Modernfertility.com/OCT.
Do it.
Do it. It's great for our community.
All right. So, okay. So you got talked into having kids, Matt. Mm-hmm. How were you in the process of, like, did you ever consider surrogacy, or were you always going to do fostering to adopt, or tell us about that?
Both Griff and I had spent a considerable amount of time in Africa. I lived in West Africa for 2 years in the Peace Corps. And during that time, which now is like 20 years back, I was really struck by the fact that in West Africa specifically, the idea of family is much more fluid than I think what we traditionally see as family here. In West Africa, you know, if you don't have a kid, because you can't have a kid for some reason, but your neighbor has six, your neighbor will give you one of theirs. It's just kind of like the way the community works. Like, you need kids for survival. Kids are how you cook. Kids are how you clean. Kids are how you ensure your old age. And so it really struck me.
I'm going to go get a bottle for this.
You do a bottle.
We can't give way to my brother who can't have kids either.
It just struck me that like, we had a really generally a very limited view of what family could be in this country. And so when it did come time to have kids, I think for both Griff and I, we were just both like, well, we don't need to go through the hundreds of thousands of dollar process of surrogacy or the $30,000 process of, you know, even a private adoption. We should just foster. That's like, that just felt like the right thing for us to do.
Yeah. So you chose foster with the hope to adopt.
Yes.
That path, I'm sure you did your research and you knew that that was going to come with possibly heartache along the way. And that's, you have to have a really thick skin to take that path, no?
Yeah. I mean, I think we knew that there was always a possibility of a baby going back, going home. I think that that is an easier kind of idea in theory. And I think we both went into it, you know, again, having been a Peace Corps volunteer, Griffin ran a nonprofit in Africa. We were both like, well, that's what we do. You know, we're good. We're doing, it's the right thing to do. And we'll learn to love the biological family and we want to do what's right for the kid. When they hand you a 5-day-old baby in the hospital and you start hearing the story of how that 5-day-old baby
got there.
I don't know, something kicked it. It became a lot harder to envision the idea of giving a baby back. Now,
but I think that most people, certainly gay men, don't think about is, you don't think you have any paternal instincts. And that was actually the shock for us, right? Is that all of a sudden when somebody hands you a baby
and says, don't kill it.
Yeah. Your instincts, your animal, don't kill it. Your animalistic instincts kick in. The baby could make a funny breath from across the room. And you're like, you know, so you really do. You can't rule out the nature portion of the program. And so I think that that also made it a very different challenge. In theory, we thought, oh, yeah, we'll give a baby back. And then once you get the baby, you're like, we're not trying to get the baby back.
Yeah. But so when you went through the agency, you weren't like, we're opening up our home for temporary fostering. You went in with the intention of saying, like, we would like to have a baby that we want to stay with us. That was
kind of had to. It's the way it works in LA anyway, is they generally only want foster parents who are willing to adopt.
Well, not always.
Well, sometimes, not always, yeah. but
you can declare that you don't want, you only want to be a temporary, but the program that we were a part of is Foster Adopt. And so, you know, like, you have to fill out many, 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 many forms. And one of the forms is, are you a temporary placement or are you a permanent placement?
But baby, I'm not trying to undercut you.
Yes, you are.
It's like, but I'm gonna.
they generally want people who are at least open to adoption because the system is so unpredictable. Mm-hmm. I mean, our social workers tell us this all the time. It's like, without fail, the kids that they're like, this kid is going back to his birth family in 2 weeks. Those are the kids inevitably that wind up getting adopted because whatever. And the kids that they're like, well, this kid, like, the home is just a mess. They're never going back. Those are the kids that, like, an aunt steps in and, like, that you send them home in a year. So they really don't, what they don't want is kids going from home to home to home to home.
Right.
They want kids to be in a stable environment. And if the kid is going to be adopted, they prefer that that child go with the family that's taking care of him or her or them for as long as they've been cared for.
Yeah. Well, that's noble, at least, that they're trying to get them in a home that they're going to stay in, which is great. So walk us through it. So you just, you finally agree that you're going to do it. And how long does the process take?
And were you open to older kids or were you only looking for an infant?
We actually wanted a 2 or 3 year old. That was our intention.
I wanted a 17 year old. I said, just give me, are they about to graduate? That's the one I want.
Does it come with a college fund?
Do they have straight A's?
They actually
That's the one
that I
want. That's the one.
And because of the nature of the house we lived in, which we lived in this gay life, big, fierce loft in downtown LA.
It was awesome. We were so cool.
Like we didn't technically have a second bedroom. So only a baby was going to be able to be approved to stay with us. So
the baby can stay in your room.
Because the baby can stay in your room up until they're like 2, technically.
Oh, so when you first go into this, and you don't have a second room, you can still foster as long as you get a baby. Mm-hmm. Oh, I have
never
heard that.
And also the other reason, Matt and I, because we're actors and musicians and we were on the road quite a bit, and they were like, you can't take an older kid and be on the road. You can take a baby because then you can strap the baby to you and you can go do all your concerts and all of your performances and your gigs. Mm-hmm. But an older kid, as we now understand, needs stability. They have to go
to school
and whatnot. So anyways, we went into it with the idea that we would take an older 2 or 3 year old, and we got a 5-day-old baby.
Wow.
I'm so like flabbergasted by that, because I always feel like the story you hear from everybody is it's very difficult to get a baby, and you have like 2 babies. And I mean, how old is your oldest?
2. No, he's 2. He'll be 3 in March.
Yeah.
So in 3 years, you got 2 babies when you asked. And it's like, I guess it's, do you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like we hear that a lot.
It's hard to get a baby if you are trying to do a private adoption.
Yeah.
I mean, there's, I think currently something like 35,000 kids in the foster care system
here
in LA County alone.
Yep. Wow.
If you want a baby and you're willing to foster.
We weren't even approved. We had not even finished the approval process.
Right. You go through like several months of training and you go do a home study and the whole thing. We were set to have like a meeting with our sort of placement worker on a Monday. And they called us on the Friday that we were approved. They called us and said, we know we're supposed to do your placement meeting on Monday, but we have a baby. Are you ready?
I was at happy hour.
He was at happy
I was
hour.
Sipping a Prosecco at happy hour. And he called me.
What did you say?
We said, first we said, can we call you back in 5 minutes?
Can we at least talk?
And we talked about it. And I think the initial instinct was like, no, like, I know we just went through all this training, but we're not going to get a baby now. Like, we don't even
have thought this is going to take a while.
Yeah, like, no, we need a minute to sort of, and I just remember saying to Griffin, like, there's a baby laying in a hospital by himself who needs a home. How are we going to say no?
And we shouldn't play
How
God.
No
and we shouldn't
say.
Play God. Yeah,
that was the Christian. The Christian was like, let's not play God.
And I was Jewish. Guilt, guilt, guilt.
Guilt, guilt, guilt. There's a baby in a hospital.
We'll take him.
I bet that baby's hungry. We better feed it.
We got to feed him.
You understand. Oh.
Do you think that the fact that you were gay men played into your getting of a baby quickly? Or does that have nothing to do with it?
They just
need homes.
And it's just next person, next person, next person.
If you don't answer in the first 5-10 minutes, they move on to the next. Because it's... babies are only coming inside of an emergency.
Right.
That's what the foster system is. It's an emergency.
Oh my God.
What we didn't realize is the biological family is they're always losing a child in an emergency.
Right.
And that is the complication of we're gaining a child in an emergency and they're losing a child in an emergency. So there's a lot of familial dynamics to work out between the foster family and the birth family. And sometimes those get worked out and sometimes they don't. But I think it becomes very humbling because there's not such a celebration when you get a baby because you realize that somebody lost their baby, you know?
Yeah. And are you in contact with the birth families?
Yes, we still, by court order, have visits with the baby's great grandparents and grandfather. Grandfather technically twice a week still.
Can I ever have nice things? I just want nice things. Remember what I
just got that? Spit up on.
It's like, I want you to know. Like, I'm that's not an exaggeration. I'm so glad you saw it.
I have to take a picture of that.
That's my jacket. That's my jacket.
But it's a cute jacket, and I think I bought it for him. And can I just want nice things?
That's my jacket is amazing.
Yeah.
You tried. You know what the point is? You tried, Griffin. You tried to look good for this interview. And you still do.
Thank you.
Just a little spit up. Yeah. We've all had it on us.
Been there, done that.
I remember when I had my daughter, and there was like this gay man, like one of my wife's gay boyfriend came over, and he was not a baby guy, and I was holding the baby, and she just pooped yellow formula poop all down the front of me, and he was just so disgusted, and he had brought her an outfit that was for a three-year-old. It was the most hilarious. I was like, and you are a gay man who's in love with Mary Tyler Moore.
That's right. That's right.
That's what it is. Correct. Exactly. It is what it is, right?
Okay, guys. If you are new to our podcast, you are going to be really happy that you tuned in right now, because we have a special discount for our listeners.
Yes, we do. And it's a good one. You guys, California Cryobank is offering our listeners a free level 2 donor information subscription for 90 days. You just need to enter code OCT.
90 days. Yeah. That's worth $145. Mm-hmm. And if you are a member of our LGBTQ community, you know that making your family is going to cost a little bit. But California Cryo is here to help, guys.
Yes. Okay. So listen, this subscription gives you access to extended donor profiles, childhood photos and adult photos for some of the donors, access to their medical histories. You can read personal essays they've written. I mean, I paid extra for all of those things, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did.
I couldn't make my decision without them, honestly. So.
Yeah. And now our listeners don't have to. We're making babies left and right with this podcast, Jamie.
And in case you didn't know, California Cryobank maintains the industry's highest quality standards to give clients the best possible opportunity for a safe and successful pregnancy. Worked for me.
Yes, yes. And me too. Yeah. Twice.
Me too.
Three different donors I had to choose. California Cryobank has over 400 highly screened donors representing over 90 different ancestries. So if you're ready to start building your family, which that's why you're listening to this podcast, head over to cryobank.com. Open a free account and then use the code OCT to activate your free subscription today.
This is so big, guys.
I know.
That's cryobank.com, CRYOBANK.com. Make those babies and then tell us about it.
So many babies. Tell us all about it. Yeah. We're going to feature you.
So many babies. So many babies.
California Cryo.
Cryo.
Bank.
So are the children biologically related? Are they from the same family?
No. Literally one is Armenian and maybe black. The other is Cambodian.
And I think white.
And maybe white.
And so when you were referring to visits, that's for your youngest baby.
The oldest. The oldest.
Has the oldest been adopted?
No.
Technically, the oldest is the mom of the oldest still has parental rights.
Oh, Zach, are we worried about this?
No.
I mean, I am now.
We're not really worried at this point. It's been a long process, but it's worth noting that like almost 3 years in the system is particularly a long amount of time for a kid to be in the system. And it's because there's been a lot of
problems
with the birth
The birth family.
Who, but it hasn't
we
always,
should also just say, though, I also just want to say, because I think it's important to paint a picture. There are members of the birth family that we love
and adore
and who love the baby and who we have a great relationship
including the birth mother, actually.
Including the birth mother.
The birth mother was very clear very early on that she wanted us. She said in court, I want the gay couple to have the baby. That's how she said it.
There it is.
So the complications of the system is that you would think that when the mother says, this is what I want, that they would just do that. But there's a whole lot of steps. If other birth family members want to step forward, they get to step forward and plead their cases and been tough.
What's the time frame? How long do you have to wait before you'll be able to finalize it?
Well, I mean, just to give you an example, our youngest baby, Apollo, it looks likely that he's 6 months old now. It looks likely that in March, his mom's rights will be cut because it's just a different situation. Mom has some other kids who have also been in the system. So there's just sort of a record already of just that this is very unlikely to be a reunification. So for him, it will take, it will have taken about 8-9 months to cut mom's rights, and then probably another 3 to 6 months to adoption. The oldest, because that was mom's first baby, and because there were other family members in the picture
that had not been vetted,
it's been
To foster,
right? It's been a 2-3/4 year process. We have a court date on Thursday. When, if her rights are cut on Thursday, it will then be another, if there's not an appeal, it will be another 3 to 6 months to adoption. So he will be well into his third year.
Wow. And it's family members who are kind of coming forward and making it a little bit difficult.
Yeah.
Because they want to be in his life.
Correct.
Yeah.
I don't want to tell too much of the story only because it's his story, but I'll just say that in all things in life, there, you know, we have egos, we're dealing with culture, we're dealing with history, religion. Homophobia, racism. So there's a lot of issues at play in certain people who just do not feel that our home is the right home for this child.
Wow. Oh, that's heartbreaking.
How do you learn to live with that uncertainty?
Well, we live with it differently because, you know, my husband and I talk a lot about our religious upbringing. You go put him down.
Yep. I'm going to take a 5.
Take
it away, Christian Daddy. Yeah,
bring some wine when you get back. We look at the, we always say, like, Christians are taught that there is only one way. It is Jesus. Jesus is the only way. And right. Jews are taught it could be this, it could be that. And so for me, I have an easier time just because of my upbringing of going like, well, it's only going to be this. This is only one way. And he gets into, what if it doesn't go right? Just because it could be this. And I'm like, eh, it's not going to be that. You know, so the anxiety around all the uncertainty for me ended a long time ago because I just felt like I intuitively knew that the kid was ours.
Mm-hmm.
I knew. And he, my husband, has been, it could go wrong. It could go south. I guess one of the things that we have talked about as a couple is like, the thing that happens in, when you're a foster parent is that you become very aware of things being temporary. Nothing is promised. And then when we look at our friends who, you know, have had biological children or adoptions or whatever, we still go, yeah, but your kid is not promised.
Mm-mm.
No, so it just has made us super aware that our kids are not promised to us, but also neither are yours.
They're not.
We just keep
that
going.
That is true. That's a good point.
The crazy thing is that the kids have no idea that any of this is happening.
Yeah,
right. Which is
no. All they know is your home.
That's it.
That you're their dads, and that's it.
And the love.
Yeah. What was it like getting a baby in the middle of a pandemic?
Well, when nothing was happening except our chicken coop in the back, and so we had this moment where I had been shooting the flight attendant all the prior year. And traveling a lot, and Matt had a show that was supposed to go to Broadway. And so when the pandemic happened, we just shut down and the flight attendant stopped filming and we were at home with our 2-year-old, you know, decided to build a chicken coop and plant a garden. And that's what we were doing for many months. And then we kind of looked at each other. I spoke to the psychic. It was a healer. And my friend gifted me a healing session. And I was like, I'll take it. Someone gifts you something, you take it. So I called this lady and she, you know, we had been talking about, I wonder if we're going to have any other kids. And she was like, oh, you're going to have another because your oldest is already calling that baby forward. And we were like, ah.
We weren't like, anything. No. I was like, no.
Yeah. And then we were like, well, if we're ever going to have a second kid, it's now. Nothing's happening. We can't travel. We're not doing anything. So this would be actually a good time to have a baby. So we got a call about a baby, Apollo. And we said, yes, we'll take him. And the next day, the producers from the flight attendant called and said, we need you in New York City on Friday. And I was like,
always happens that way, doesn't it? Always.
I said, I can't come. I don't know what to tell you, but I just had a baby. And luckily, and this is a very women's empowerment moment, but our producers were women, mothers. And they were like, you had a baby? Great, we're gonna move everything around and you don't need to worry and we're gonna put you on paternity leave and we'll work it out and you can just come later. And it was, because at the time it was like, it was a you know, a 2-week quarantine to fly to New York even before you start shooting. And then I couldn't fly home in between episodes. And so anyways, I was going to have to be in New York for like 3 months. Mm-mm. And they were like, no way. So they worked Mm-mm. it out. And thank God, when women are in charge, those are the kinds of things that just are easy. They made it so easy. It was a non-event that I had a baby, other than them wanting to make sure that we were taken care of. So.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Jamie, I am so excited.
Oh, geez. You're about to talk about legal stuff, aren't you?
You know I yes, am, Jamie. I know. You know I am.
I know.
So many of our listeners are just starting out buying a home, having babies, and building their future.
Yep, that's us.
And so you know that I have to say this, like I am compelled to say, you also need to think about securing your family's future to your to-do list by establishing a will or a trust at trustandwill.com.
No, it's true. And this is critical for our LGBTQ families community.
That is right, Jamie. Mm-hmm. That is right. It is. And at trustandwill.com, setting up an estate plan is simple and convenient and it's secure.
You're going to be shocked, Robin, but I actually do know about them.
What?
So let me, I know, and I have one. So let me say this. For as little as $39, you can nominate guardians for your children.
Important.
So very important. Determine who gets your stuff and plan for future medical care, all from the comfort of your own home. You don't even have to leave. It's pandemic safe.
I love that too. Hiring a traditional estate attorney, it can cost thousands. And using a one-size-fits-all template is not nearly specialized enough, especially for our LGBTQ families. Mm-hmm. Trust and will documents are designed by estate planning experts, and they're going to customize for the state you live in.
Yeah, and they have customer support 7 days a week. So their team is available to answer any questions that you might have while you're setting up your plan, which, you know, our community might have some questions.
Yeah. And I went in and I took their quiz online to get started, and it was so helpful. And it pointed me right in the right direction for what I needed to protect my family. I love that quiz.
You know why? Because what? Trust and Will is the most trusted name in online estate planning, Robin. I know this. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They are the category leader on Trustpilot, and they've helped hundreds of thousands of people protect their family's assets and legacy.
You can gain peace of mind at trustandwill.com/OCT, and you're going to get 10% off plus free shipping of your customized legal documents. Come mm-hmm. on.
So guys, don't wait. Go right now. This is really important. Get 10% off plus free shipping at trustandwill.com/OCT.
trustandwill.com/OCT.
Trust and Will. You touched on, you know, the discrimination you have both faced. And I was thinking, like, what better couple to deal with this than you guys? Because you've been pretty groundbreaking with the work you've done so far in your careers. You don't stop pushback. You keep going. You push the boundaries. You push the barriers. So, like, I just feel like, what better couple to take this on than you?
Well,
and to show it to the world.
It's very kind. And also, the reality of it is many times we were under our covers, like trembling, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah. Yes, and it's like the only way to get through the foster system is to walk through the fire. And so mm-hmm. we walked through the fire. We're still not done. And I think you just get a little bit better at dealing with the heat.
Do you agree, Matt? Because you made a little, he made a little head gesture.
No, I do agree. It's the Jewish part of me.
Like, I knew it. Well, that was the Jewish gesture.
You could say it like that, or you could say it's a shit show. And
yeah.
I think he's right. And I also think that any system that is put in place to try to handle the needs of just an endless array of different needs of different kinds of people, of different people, it's just not set up in the best interest of the most vulnerable members of society, which are little babies who have no say and don't have a voice. And to be honest, I don't know, even though it's completely not up to the task of helping these children in the way that they need to be helped, I also am not fully sure that I know if there's a better way to do it. Yet.
Yeah,
it's just we live in a flawed world. Human, you know, we're all human beings, and like you can try to legislate things, and you can put programs in place, and inevitably, you're gonna miss something. We just miss something, and somebody
we've learned
falls
a lot. I feel like we've learned a lot about humanity inside of this. We swore up and down to our social workers and our families and our friends we would never take another baby. after what we've been through with our oldest, we were like, we will never, ever take another baby this way. We are going to get a private adoption, and that is that. And then a pandemic hit and the world changed. And we were like, okay, so just because a pandemic hits does not mean that babies stop coming through the system. And because of the pandemic, they couldn't necessarily get new parents through the classes to get approved. And so we became very aware that like there could be an emergency situation where they needed to place a baby. And that Apollo came to us through an absolute emergency situation. And I think that we've learned a lot of compassion for the birth mothers. We've met, like he said, birth families who the mom's having a rough time, but everybody else is like, we're good. We just can't take a baby, but we're really great people and we're stable and we're happy and healthy. And we're happy that you guys stepped forward, you know, so it, now we have a Cambodian family and now we have an Armenian and Ukrainian family. And
here we are.
Here's the reality of parenting. And you both absolutely know this. We got to fix this country because it's not cheap to have children. The daycare is not cheap.
No, so it is not.
No.
Something has to happen. We've said this before. I think we actually really love being dads and we really love a two-year-old in our bed in the middle of the night as much as we're exhausted by it. We love our kids. And I never thought I'd have a house full of boys. We love our house full of boys. It's a lot of pooping and farting and burping and spit up. And it feels like it feels right. But something would have to shift financially. We have to get a different house. It's like, because they don't make it easy. That's why when Elizabeth Warren was like, we need universal childcare, I voted for Warren, guys. Because I was like, what that lady just said is true.
Yeah.
So, right here with you. You know, I'm happy that Biden's here, thank God. But I'm also like, that thing was a real thing. Like, I don't know how people work. How are people paying for this?
Yeah, I don't know. It is. You are so right. It is crazy expensive to raise a child in this country.
Yeah.
Childcare is insane. Yeah. It's insane.
We'll hear people talk about the cost of sperm sometimes. And Jamie and I will be like, if you can't afford the sperm, you can't afford the baby. Like,
Watch out.
It's so much. That's 1 month of daycare New York City.
Not even.
Yeah.
Okay. So I wanted to know, because we've talked to a lot of folks who've fostered and we've heard from folks around the country that it's different and depending on what part of the country you're in. And so I just wanted to know, I'm assuming the answer is going to be no, but did you face any kind of discrimination against your sexuality when you went into the process with the foster agencies and things like that?
In LA, they were specifically courting gay couples to be foster
parents. They literally were holding events for the LGBTQ community.
We went to an event at the Fred Siegel store in West Hollywood. It was catered.
It was catered.
There were cocktails.
They know their market. They know what they're doing.
So gay.
Yeah.
There were rainbow flags everywhere, confetti.
Yeah.
There might have even been like shirtless calendars. I don't know. They were just like, take a baby. Like someone take one of these kids. Yeah. And that's
look at this cute baby.
It's been, in that regard, it's been a miracle and beautiful. And even I would say, like, through the court system, I think that is something we avoided in LA.
Well, that's great to know. And that's great for listeners to know that, you know, if you're in LA.
It's good to be in the bubble. We talk about that all the time, too.
I don't understand another option. Listen, there are so many kids everywhere. And it just makes sense that you need to open it up to everybody. And I also really think that because we've been foster parents and we take no personal pride in it. But I'm just like, I wish more gays knew that that was an option for their lives, because I think at least our gay friends, more of the men than the women, but it's like adoption or surrogacy. That just feels like the only option. I'm like, you know, there's another option, which is that they're giving out kids. Like there's just, their kids are everywhere. I need you to take them. So I just, you know, it's not an easy path, but I've heard horror stories about private adoptions and surrogacy and insemination. It's like you're going to have a journey no matter what to get a kid. You both know this.
Well, listen, our families come about in various, various ways, and they are all beautiful, and you guys are fucking beautiful.
You really are.
And you've taken a noble path, and we commend you for it, and we're so happy for you. Seriously.
And will you tell people again the agency you used in LA? Because I think we should really highlight that. And then tell everybody like where they can follow you and find you and watch all of your good stuff.
We foster our kids through an agency called Children's Bureau, which if you Google Children's Bureau LA, you'll find out all you need to know. You do the following thing, because this is where my ego, like, I get like really Jewish and I'm just like, do we have to talk about social media? I know it's so important, but like,
it's just, everything is so exhausting. It's so just tired. So exhausting.
But yet he probably has 100,000 followers.
And he's has 100,000. Yeah.
Yeah. No, so exhausting.
I am Griffin's thread and he is
fake Matt Gould.
Yeah,
somebody send help. Somebody send help to me. Send anything, wine, cookies, anything.
Oh my God. Yeah. Well, you'll have to keep us updated too, like when adoptions go through, so we can let everybody know, because everyone's invested now. I know Jamie and I are.
We always. We will let everybody know. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, this has been so great.
Oh, these two.
Oh my God.
They had me at chickens.
Oh, the chickens. I want chickens.
I want to get chickens in my Brooklyn apartment.
In my next life, I'm not doing the city. In my next life. That's my plan.
Interesting. Do we think they're going to have a third kid, Jamie?
I do.
I put money on it.
I think, you know, like from our experience of everybody we've talked to who like fosters, adopts, especially the foster situation, you just like you get the call and how do you say no?
I know.
How do
you say no? You have to take yourself off the list if you're really done.
Right. And that's like Crystal and Kelly got, I call them the angels. Yeah. They got all those kids. Just, yes, of course, we'll take them. We'll take them.
But just like what Matt said, Matt, our honorary lesbian, when he said he was like, I mean, there's a baby that needs a home. How do we say no? I loved that so much.
I know. Exactly. That's a quote card.
All right, everybody. That was an amazing interview.
Yeah.
Go get our book, you guys. Go get our book. If These Ovaries Could Talk, The Things We Learned About Making an LGBTQ Family. It's available at all major retailers. And if you want to buy locally, check IndieBound.
Yes. And it's full of stories just like the one you just heard. So you can also get the audiobook if you want to hear us read to you at night.
I mean, come on, who doesn't want that?
And that's available on Amazon and iTunes, and it's so good.
And if you get it, don't be afraid to rate and review us on Amazon or Goodreads. I mean, yeah, come on.
Take those reviews. Or, and send us a picture of you reading our book. We also love those.
Yeah, I mean, we have a lot of demands of our listeners, Jamie. Do you think other podcast hosts are like, and also, could you swing by and paint my house and make dinner for my children? We're so demanding.
I know. Someone's wife is like, babe, are you coming to bed? No, I have to take a picture of the book for Robin and Jamie.
I have to rate and review it on Goodreads. I did it on Amazon, but I didn't do it on Goodreads. We're annoying.
So, guys, just for those of you who are stressed out by all the demands
that we're putting on you,
we have some partnerships that we really, really believe in that could help you with that. So one of them is BetterHelp. It's online therapy. We really, really believe in it. You go to our website. It's there. Mm-hmm.
We are cracking up during COVID, and we want you to know that if you're cracking up during COVID, you can get 10% off your first month of online therapy with them. So just go to our website for the code. Woo! Yeah. OvariesTalk.com.
I had a breakdown the other night. I lost my shiznit on my children. Anyway, okay. That's why we all need therapy.
So if you lost your shiznit on your children, let's keep this conversation going on social and you could tell us all about losing your shiznit on your children. Ovaries
Talk. How many times can we say shiznit?
And when no one else is still saying that. Ovaries Talk on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If These Ovaries Could Talk on YouTube, where you can see recordings of our live streams. Don't forget our live streams are on Facebook and YouTube at 4 p.m. Eastern time on Thursdays. They're so fun. We have a great time. Join us.
Yes. And you can support the podcast and join our community on Patreon. Patreon.com/ovariestalk. I said it just like that for you, Jamie. Patreon. Don't forget, you get bonus content over there.
And we have to say a really great big thank you to our sponsors, Generate Life Sciences, Trust and Will, and Modern Fertility. And a big thank you to all of you Patreons who are helping to make this show. We thank you so much. We really do.
Let's go before we start saying more words from the 90s. Eggs.
Ovaries.
Out.
Out.
If these ovaries could talk, they would say, eggs, ovaries, out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.